We got a loaded crosstalk here on DFW Sports Station. Ben and Skin in studio on this Football Friday. Good morning, boys.
Boys, we are stoked. We've got a fun show today. Jerry Jones joins us at 11 o'clock. And we were kind of kicking that around. One of the things we like to do before we have Jerry on, I know I like this, is to just touch base with folks and see what do we absolutely have to ask him. Because it's a limited window, and you don't want to get done with it and have so much fun, and you're like, oh, damn, we forgot to ask him this. So what do you think is absolutely imperative that we talk to Mr. Jones about today?
Jerry?
it's kind of boring football-y, but sometimes he'll give you some if you give a wide-open question. Like, Jerry, you pay attention to all the shows and the media. How did we overreact? Biggest overreaction to the Saints. And maybe he'll talk about what really happened with the play calling, or he'll talk about how Jason's not to blame, or Callen's not to blame, or Dak's not to blame. And maybe he'll expose something or give us some more detail by talking about how we all overreact.
Can I throw out a suggestion?
Nope.
Suck it.
All right, coming up next.
Joker opens this weekend. If you had to correlate yourself to a very well-known villain, who would it be?
Oh. Mm. Villain?
He's going to say
Jed Clampett.
Yeah. So
okay, that's the Beverly Hillbillies for those who don't know.
Do you think he gets private screenings for whatever he wants to see?
I know. We know his theater. Well, we shouldn't put it out there, but he has a theater in Uptown, I believe, that he goes to.
Oh, so he does go out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Jerry's a big movie guy.
Yeah. Ask him if he prefers Jared Leto or Cesar Romero's Joker better.
No.
Which one he likes.
Ask him what scene in Eyes Wide Shut did he most relate to.
Are any of you going to see?
I know which one I relate to.
Joker. Not the Joker.
I went Saturday.
And?
I'm going to go see it Saturday.
Oh, you're going Saturday.
Yeah, I can't wait for
We're going tomorrow, me and the wife.
Really?
That's Saturday.
Troy's read some
Saturday too, huh?
Surprising reviews that aren't that high on it.
Yeah, the New York Times basically killed it. Deadspin killed it as well. Sports Illustrated wrote something but didn't have time to put it out before they got fired.
Mark Fisher being responsible for people getting fired.
This is Fish in a nutshell. The world nuclear bombs, and he's the only one to survive the ash.
Yeah, that is true. But I will be there with you, KT, for the fan movie screening.
Isn't it dangerous to work in media and then laugh at other media people getting fired? Aren't we all, like, walking the plank?
We're.
I would be shocked if any of us lasted past Christmas.
Oh, I agree.
I'd be shocked.
I agree 100%.
What a scary business, man.
Anything else? 3 months. Tease?
Let's see.
I do want
to. Your guys will not last past Christmas.
What a loaded show.
I mean, my focus is on Jerry. But honestly, I do later on in the show at 12:20. Going to get into this topic about carrying cash. Do you guys carry cash?
No.
I try to, but I don't have any on me now yet, but I do try to.
Ooh, look at Big Dog.
Now, he has to carry that because it's for both of us. I have been loaning cash to Ben just for, you know, tips and things like that for about 15 years.
So Venmo changed everything.
We'll be sitting at dinner, and I'll get a Venmo message from Ben. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you texting me? We're sitting next to each other, like, hey. Can you get me with the valet?
Yeah.
I'll hook you up. Do you have any cash? We need to do
but
this.
What you're saying is a Venmo message. I go ahead and preemptively send you the money.
Now
you owe me money.
So now most valets have a little sign. Not most. Some valets that are getting ahead of it have a sign up, and it's got the Venmo sign.
Yes.
And tells you exactly what to do. So we don't need to carry cash anymore. It's a waste of resources.
Man, I had a situation. I'm just saying. I'll let you get back to that, RJ. But I had a situation where I humiliated myself by not having cash, and I'll tell that.
I bet it's your fault because no one should accept cash anymore.
You guys sure
so
you want to
not your fault.
You guys sure you want to get rid of cash?
I don't.
Yeah. I like the black market personally.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you guys see the story about the couple that had their entire retirement in a bank in Mexico and now it's gone?
No.
Because it was all digital. It's all gone.
Wow.
Not that this paper means anything, but
dude,
whatever.
Like my dad, I don't know if your guys' pops are the same way or were. The dad move of, but what's it cost in cash?
Right.
Did you ever do
that?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my God. Like, you can't pull that move anymore.
No, you can't. No.
I want brick for the front of my house. It's this one. Well, what's it cost to cash?
Right.
That's what he did with our old house. I'm like, what does that mean?
Baller moves. Like, hey, man, this is fake money. I'm going to actually hand you cash. Now how much?
Cash. Now how much is it?
Were you tweeting last night that you would want to see Pete Carroll down the road if you're the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because he makes bad decisions a lot.
What was it?
Fourth and one. Which one? I mean, how many fingers do I have? Okay, so the field goal on fourth and one, that's the first one that really jumps out. How about this? And they got so lucky because Russ is awesome.
I agree with that, by the way, the field goal attempt.
It's third and goal. And at first, they were trying to run clock with 4 minutes left. I'm like,
are we sure?
I think Troy said it. No, Troy said it.
They were not running clock with 4 minutes to go. So then,
are you talking about the pitch play?
No, that's different.
When they got down there on first and goal, the way they were moving, Troy was like, yeah, they're trying to run clock right now. I was like, no, they're not. There's a
2 minute
warning and you're crazy.
Anything, they need to score so they can get the ball back again after the Rams score. So it was third and goal, and then they ran it. And I was like, what? So we're going to run it and set up a fourth and goal must be perfect play. And if Chris Carson drops that ball, you know, and if Russ didn't make an incredible play to escape the pocket, then they lose. They lose right there, you know? This is not year one of this. This is like year five of Pete Carroll making dumbass decisions, and Russell Wilson bails him out of it. And there are other people who have done this. Rodgers did it for McCarthy for years. I mean, but you go like, Seahawks fans are like very, very jaded. If you like follow them at all, I don't know if you guys do that. I do. But they're like, oh my God, this is awful. This is awful, and Russ is saving us. Give Russ $100 million. I mean, Seahawks fans think, because they see it time in and time out, he gets Pete and Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, they're digging their own grave, and he comes, oh, come on, guys, you're not dead yet. He pulls them out.
When's your Packers pick today?
Hell, I'll do it right now. Yes. I mean, I don't care.
Oh, wow.
He's going to do
one.
Yeah.
He's going to do one.
Yeah. Just kidding. These are posted at 1053thefan.com. Cowboys will win if Cowboys will lose with, and a score prediction. 1053thefan.com. What? Oh, you shake your head.
You shake your
head like we're not supposed to promote the website.
You are. I'm giving you credit for that.
27-24 Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
Not hitting the over.
Overtime.
Wait, it is the over.
I don't think the Packers can score 24 points.
In overtime.
Isn't that crazy?
With
a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers?
But let me ask you this. I'm struggling with this, seriously. So, Aaron is great, best, blah, blah, blah. But without Devontae Adams, I'm like, they can't score enough. Thanks to you. Earlier in the week.
I changed my mind on that, by the way.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That skin called. And then Russell, with nobody, is playing like the MVP.
That's not nobody.
Metcalf is awesome.
I'm just saying, like, throughout his career.
Disley. Holy crap. Will Disley's a monster.
25 balls in college.
He's a monster.
My point is, he's had no name supporting cast.
Tyler Lockett,
Doug Baldwin, he made into a baller. Disley, better than Jimmy Graham. DK Metcalf, people were talking like he was, you know, too stiff to run routes. Yeah. Like, my point is, why am I not fearing Aaron without Devontae like Russell with a lot of no names?
He's arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of ever. He's an absolute beat. He's in the discussion. How is he not in the discussion?
I have no problem with what Ben's saying right now. Choppy's about to lose his mind, but I will support Ben's opinion with other people's opinions.
But you also just said, and I agree with you overall, Choppy, you can have your rebuttal, but you also said, I don't know if they can get to that amount of points for Sunday.
Okay, so look, last week, the mighty Tom Brady scored 12 points against the Bills. I mean, We saw Dak the first half of last year and the back half of last year. There's a lot of things that go into great quarterback play. You know, this is the whole thing where people talk about overpaying the quarterback and all this stuff. It's like, who is the quarterback that goes and wins at the highest level on his own?
Russell Wilson.
I mean,
But
at the highest level.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson has been so good that mediocre teams get 10 wins and then lose in the divisional round every year. Yeah. You're not going to go win at the highest level with just one badass quarterback and a bunch of spares. It doesn't happen.
Look, the reason that Russell can do this and Aaron can't is because Aaron's old.
Russell's better than Aaron right now.
Aaron right now is not a top five NFC quarterback.
What? Top five?
Oh, I would say NFC. I would say he is.
Give me the five.
But NFL, I think that's an argument.
NFL, he's probably not top 10.
Give us five in the NFC.
Hang on, let me put this number
on. How do you say
throw
that?
Throw out the statement without the list.
As much as I love Dak, you better not put Dak ahead of him.
Well, Dak is better than him
now.
This
You're
year,
wrong.
So he's having a better year.
So, if Russell, wait, 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 no, 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 no. So if it's a Sandlot game,
right? And you can just pick the teams.
Oh,
you're
Favre.
Taking Dak over Aaron Rodgers?
No, well, are you talking about in a one game thing?
Tomorrow season. Yeah. I'm talking about for one season.
If you
put Aaron Rodgers on this Cowboy team, they would be better. And even I believe in Dak. Shut Aaron Rodgers knows everything to do, and he can still do it.
One game, I would still take Aaron over a lot of guys for one game.
But for one season, you take
Dak? No, one season, I probably wouldn't. Absolutely not.
I would. I would take Aaron Rodgers for one season.
I'm just going to give you the NFC quarterbacks who are having a better year than him. Dak, Russ, Garoppolo, Matt Ryan.
I know, but give us the five.
Matt Ryan.
Daniel,
what are you doing?
He's having a great year.
No, he's not.
Daniel Jones. Jameis Winston.
I'm like LeBron on the first cast.
Carson Wentz is having a better year.
Listen to his snap count over here.
Carson Wentz is having a better year. I mean, I can just keep going on and on and on.
All right, we're gonna finish up with this since our show credibility has been destroyed.
I mean, I'm just telling you.
Roy's running open down the field because we jumped offside.
Roy. Having a better year.
Roy White getting you ready for the Cowboys offense for covering versus Green Bay on Sunday. Ben and Skin up next.
It's easy. Matt Ryan.
First down runs, I'ma pull all the hair out of my head. Cowboys fans, they're tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. The way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second down, Garrett, don't you tell us what you think the play should be. Moore's the one on the call, that's why you made him the OC. Oh, ooh, you made him the OC. Oh, ooh, your offense was broken in all phases. Kellen's first three games were amazing, calling the plays like he's a maven. Pre-step in motion, the offense was smoking opponents till last week. First the Saints, seemed like Garrett got in the way. Don't know what else there is to say. Time for Boy Wonder to save the day. Kellen Moore, you made me a believer. Believer. Designing plays to get to open wide receivers. Receivers. Just call the plays. Don't let Jason Garrett take back the reins. Cause the game plan for last week, it was insane. Kellen Moore, you made me a believer. Believer.
To the world famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade. We've got Jonathan Shippy Shipman, Kevin KT Turner, the pride of only Texas. All hands on deck on a football Friday, getting you ready for a fun NFL weekend, a little college football as well. Cowboys, Packers, definitely top of mind. Please make note that the best interview in all of sports, the wickedly hilarious Jerry Jones is joining us at 11 o'clock. So Jerry at 11, tell all your friends, anybody who loves Cowboys football, anybody who loves great interviews, entertaining guests, Jerry Jones, still the best in sports, in my opinion. Jerry Jones at 11 o'clock today.
I'm dying to get his take on National Taco Day.
I know we asked him, too, about football stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tacos is good. I don't like to get his thoughts on the new Ranger Stadium.
Okay.
Kind of impacts him a little bit, right?
Yeah, they're right down the street from one another.
I haven't heard anyone ask him that, so I'd like to see those.
That's a great idea there, Kevin.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. National Taco Day is good. The Joker movie's good. I might also be curious about this. How could we get Jerry to answer this? There's a lot of talk about who the greatest quarterback of all time is, who's the greatest quarterback in the league right now. It's always something that's kicked around at sports bars and whatnot. But with the Cowboys playing Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you just heard RJ Choppy. I mean, it's that was a bizarre take. Who is the greatest quarterback of all time that Jerry's ever seen with his own eyeballs? Who does he think is the best quarterback?
Oh, I'd love to hear that. I think.
What do you think he'd say?
I think he's going to say Troy, because I think he's going to personalize it. But you know what he might do? He might talk about one of his own experiences at Arkansas or something. Who knows, right? He may pull a college quarterback out of the hat there, but
I want to
we'll
know
see.
If he's got MJ or LeBron.
What'd he say, Brady? And I don't. I think he would say Montana over Brady.
I think so too. But
let's just see, man. Yeah, we got him on the show in an hour. Should be great.
There was footballing happening all over the place last night. Rams, Seahawks, very entertaining game. Seahawks beat the Rams 30-29. Greg the Leg Zuerlein missed from 44 yards, and that ended up giving the Seahawks the win. Russell Wilson was incredible, and just a very entertaining game. One of the most entertaining games of the season.
I felt so good that we had Rams plus 1.5. I mean, that worked out incredibly. Thank you so much, Rams. But it was a fantastic game, and I think it ties into our quarterback conversation. Do you guys agree with Sean's assessment that Russ is currently the best quarterback in the NFL?
I mean, I was. It's hard to say because in different stretches, different guys look that way. Like, I was watching Aaron Rodgers last week or the week before, and I was like, good God, he's still the best quarterback in the league. Like, he can just do these things that are so incredibly special. And last night, if you're watching Russell Wilson, you're like, wow, how can anybody do it better?
Yeah.
You know, early in the season, Dak looked like the best. Mm-hmm. You know, Pat Mahomes looks great. All the Jacoby Brissett has 10 touchdowns and just 2 picks. I mean, it's like,
I didn't realize that.
There's fantastic quarterbacking happening all over the league, and at different times, different guys look like the best. But I have a hard time not bringing the whole body of work into it. And so, in other words, Jacoby Brissett, he's playing good, but I don't consider him in that conversation. Aaron Rodgers may not even be playing that well, but I bring all the baggage, the good baggage that he has, the great history and the things he's done, or Brady. And it looks like RJ's ready to cut off a guy's head if he starts declining in any way and starts losing anything of his fastball. I'm like, I have a hard time separating a guy from the great things he's achieved in the past.
There are several ways to evaluate a quarterback and several different things to look at, and I don't think it is any stretch at all to realize Aaron Rodgers has slipped. He absolutely has. From his peak, he has slipped. Having said that, with a minute to go in the game or the half, there is no other player in football that I fear more than Aaron Rodgers. We saw it last week in that game that they lost to Philadelphia. He marched down the field after Peterson made a dumb decision with no timeouts in 1 minute and dropped 7 on him.
Yeah.
He still is the best when everything is breaking down at figuring out with no time left how to make it happen. And by the way, I just want to say that guy that we watched last night, I don't think there's anybody better at when a play breaks down than Russell Wilson right now.
Like him and Mahomes.
Good.
I mean, I think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, and I don't think it's close to me personally. But
you're not evaluating experience enough.
I think Pat can just make it all. He can make things work for somehow. He can make it work. But you know, whatever. It's when you have any types of discussions.
If you put Mahomes on the Packers, would he do the same thing? 50 touchdowns and
I think so.
I mean, it's just him on his own. No. It's not the scheme.
Well,
it's not
scheme
the
might
talent,
matter.
It's
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not the Kelce and you know, it's not Hill and
no, that helped. The scheme's totally. Andy Reid deserves a lot of credit for that.
And don't you think Aaron Rodgers would go drop a deuce on everybody's head if he was rolling Kansas City system?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the drop off of Aaron Rodgers has to do with 2 collarbone injuries, his knee being hurt last year,
right.
And he got his coach fired last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy. I mean, it was a bad scheme for 4 years and he was tired of it.
Needed to go.
I mean, dude, in a game against the Cardinals last year, they lost a game on purpose to get him fired. Saw it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that legitimately happened. I do think all that, I mean, all that stuff comes into play. I think Russell, was anyone anointing him as the best quarterback in the league after last week's game against the Saints where they lost and the game was never close? Because Russell was awesome. He threw for 450 yards. A lot of it was garbage time, but he's playing his balls off. They're 2 scores down and he's getting hit every play and he's still rolling out trying to win the game and they're down by 11 and there's, I mean, legitimately 10 seconds left in the game.
I just think he's
and
been,
I was like, man, look at him. He's just playing hard and balling out. Like,
he's been lugging that thing around for 3 years, literally lugging it around, man. And his greatness gets him to 10 wins, and they have no chance at the conference title game because the team's not good enough.
Are they good enough now?
But, is it because he's making 35 mil of the pie?
No, I think that their dynasty got old, and guys got hurt, and guys fell off, and now they're in the middle of rebuilding it. In that first half last night, and I'm not talking about in every game, but I'm talking about at home, watching that first half, Seattle at home, I thought is the best the NFC has to offer. And then there were some questionable decisions, and the Rams got right back into it, and the game was mismanaged, and Russ had to go pull it out of his butt.
What about Jared Goff? I mean, Jared Goff at this point has 7 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
I still think he's great.
God, his accuracy is so incredible. He puts that ball in places that very few people can.
That's where I think Mahomes, this is where I think a little higher of Mahomes. And I love Goff. You guys know I take Goff over Dak. You guys know that.
Yeah, he's got the most interceptions in the league.
With Mahomes, Kevin. you still see some like inexperienced plays from Goff. You never see that with Mahomes.
I don't know, dude. I think he's got that thing where wild crap works out for him.
Yes.
It's the Favre thing.
No, yes. He's got the Favre thing.
It's the early Romo thing.
Russ Wilson has a lot of that, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the throw to Lockett was in... There was a throw he made. It was early in the game. It was before the Lockett touchdown. It was like one of the first plays of the game. I was like, good Lord. No one makes that throw. And it's just... I mean, the thing about Mahomes, though, it's so different to me... It's like you want him doing that wild stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay with it.
Right.
You necessarily don't want Goff doing that.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
But I think Goff's great. I mean, there were people on Twitter killing him last night for one of those final drives, and I was like, man, this is not. I think Robert Mays had the best tweet. He goes, if you guys think Goff is a bad quarterback, this is not it. I welcome you to go watch a bad quarterback. And that's a guy who's living with Trubisky. He's a Bears fan. He's living with Trubisky and Chase Daniel right now.
Mays also had the great tweet that Russell Wilson is underpaid at $35 million a year.
Yeah. I mean.
He's so good.
He
went to Mizzou.
It's tough with the salary cap. But it's gonna affect people. I had the Stars game on at 7, and Jim Neal's doing an interview. And they were going, well, there's some new things happening in the NHL CBA. Is it going to wear out the middle class? And he was like, yeah, it might, because these kids can play now for cheap. And you're always going to sign the stars, and the middle class may be gone. Like, it's in every sport. You know, those guys have to, like, I guess it's not in baseball, because there's no cap in baseball, but.
And the Rangers have been eating in the middle class.
Yeah, just kind of hanging out.
The Rangers have been kicking ass there.
Having a buffet.
They're flying Mike Minor.
Perfect. we'll take him.
Give us some Lance Lynn for
cheap. Lance Lynn, Mike Minor.
Now, there was a play in last night's game. It was 4th and 1. And I have this stat, and I know you guys like stats, right? And you guys know me, I'm not full analytical guy. I like some of it.
We used to have a drop of you saying you're an analytics guy.
Sabermetric guy.
Yeah.
But that was just more of like, you know, just trying to get a grasp on it. Still am. I am 31. A lot's changed.
You're old.
I am old. So it's 4th and 1. The Seahawks have controlled the game for the most part. It's 14-6. They have the ball. They're driving. There's about 2.5 minutes left in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And 4th and 1, and Pete Carroll goes, let's go for the 45-yard field goal. Maybe it's a little longer than that. 45-yard field goal. Last year, teams converted 4th and 1 outside the red zone at 77%.
Is that right?
Okay.
That's probably a small sample size, right?
4th and 1 outside the red zone?
Yeah.
Think about how many times the Cowboys did that last year.
7.
I mean, it's probably a relatively small sample size, but I don't think it's like...
Fewer than 100, right?
I don't think it's like 10. It's probably like 50.
Okay, yeah.
77%. Kickers made 23 of 33 kicks where the field goal was around 45, 46 yards.
So about 60-something percent.
If you would go for it on 4th and 1, 77% chance of getting it. If you kick the field goal from that distance, 70% chance, okay? So Pete Carroll effectively took the riskier option with the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
For a lower reward, because it would have been a touchdown, possibly, you know, it's a 3 points. And then it also guaranteed, instead of going for 4th and 1, keep the ball, then you ensure that the Rams don't get the ball back. By kicking the field goal, they're getting the ball back.
Okay, so power rank these in your analytics brain.
Mm-hmm.
Going for the field goal, going for it on 4th and 1, pooch punting it.
Go for it on 4th and 1.
Okay.
My goal is to not give them the ball.
What do you have number two?
Field goal.
Okay.
Because the points, I mean, the kicker makes the kick, you're up 11.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is to not give them the ball back.
Right, or at least not give them the ball.
The goal is to get a touchdown first.
But also not give them the ball back with great field position and not that far to go.
Yeah, but they were controlling the game.
And the Rams are going to get the ball to start the second
half. Maybe Aaron Donald has something to do with that, though. You know, maybe that comes into play. I think about the Cowboys running it in to 4th and 1. Last night it was 3rd and 2 for the Seahawks. And I was thinking, surely they're probably just going to do it. They're probably going to run it, but they noticed that they'd kind of spread it out. I was like, interesting. Are they going to throw it? What are they doing? And they did the keeper and the option. And I didn't hate the play. It's just that the Rams did a good job of playing defense. But think about what would have happened if the Rams stuffed it, if they ran it right up the middle. Then the whole world kills them. Instead, they don't get it, and the whole world kills them for Russell Wilson trying to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
So I just... You know, all this stuff is so, it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, depending on the outcome, and that's a bad way to look at stuff. But I think that's kind of the way we talk about sports now, you know?
Well, did you get, when Greg the Leg Zuerlein goes out there to win the game from 44 yards, were you guys feeling confident in that?
I thought the Rams were going to win.
I did too.
I thought he was going to
win. I saw this from Warren Sharp, kicker confidence problems.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He said kickers are 4 for 13 in the last 2 years on field goals between 40 and 60 yards in the final 2 minutes if down 1 to 2 points.
Wow.
So 31% he's got year by year. In this year, they're 2 for 3.
That's clutch.
67. 2018, 2 for 10.
Ooh.
So it was a bad year for it last year. So when you trot out that kicker,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't be so confident that for sure it's going to happen.
And those are clutch stats. That's exactly what that is about. By the way, Troy had a rough moment when the Rams were deciding what to do and there's 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
And it was 3rd and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams didn't have any timeouts. And Troy was like, I'd just probably hand it off to Gurley here and see what he can get you.
Yeah.
It's like, and then sprint the kick team out there with 1 second left.
And there's 20 seconds left, right?
20 seconds left, no timeout.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, you know what I was thinking during that? I was thinking run it on second down.
And then go clock it?
And then clock it.
Yeah.
Is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But probably should have been thinking about getting more yards.
But you know what?
It turns out. You
it
know?
Doesn't matter, though, because Troy had an incredible moment.
Oh, man.
When they were watching Cooper Kupp run off the field. And he was reminded of the time that he actually played with Cooper Kupp's dad. He just didn't know it.
You know, Cooper Kupp's dad was my backup at one point for the Cowboys back in 1991, Craig Kupp. I'd forgotten all about that. And Sam Farmer with the LA Times, I didn't even know that Craig was Cooper's dad. He was there for, I don't know, maybe 2 cups of coffee. It wasn't very long, but Craig, I miss you, my man. Hope you're well.
Didn't stick around very long. Totally forgot he was my backup. Hope you're doing well.
Craig Kupp.
He was taking a lot of hits back then at that time.
One game in 1921 as a Phoenix Cardinal.
No, it's a different guy.
No, this is him.
1921?
1991.
Okay.
One game.
Craig, I miss you, my man. Hope you're well.
3 of 7 for 23 yards in 1991. I guess he might have been on the Cowboys practice squad.
We need to have more Craig's guess.
Yeah, I don't ever remember hearing that name. I don't know if he was, like, I don't think he was the backup. Maybe he was a practice squad, like, 5th on the depth chart.
And then back in those days, they did keep 3 quarterbacks a hell of a lot more than they do now. But to Ben's point, I do not remember him.
Craig's father, Jake Kupp, was a guard in the NFL for the Saints and the Cowboys.
That's great, man.
So, family tradition. Yeah, so apparently after his 1 3-for-7, 23-yard game with the Cardinals, the Cowboys picked him up. They saw enough in that game to pick him up.
I like all the Twitter commentary of, man, poor Craig Kupp is just trying to enjoy the game, and Troy just took a dump on him on national TV.
Hell, I didn't even know he was a person.
Hope you're doing well, my man.
I was there for, I don't know, maybe 2 cups of coffee.
I remember not thinking highly of him, but his son's doing well.
Pretty good pun there with the cups of coffee, though.
Yeah. That's good.
2 cups, right? Pretty great. All right, so Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, interesting commentary out of the Big Apple about Porzingis. And man, is this shots fired at this NFL legend or what? We'll get into that next on The Fan. All right, thank you, Shippy. Don't forget, Dallas Cowboys football right here on The Fan on Sunday. And our pregame show is on and popping live from the Miller Lite West Plaza of AT&T Stadium. You got Ari and Chop. Starts at 12:30. And they always have great guests on this, but this week, you know her, you love her. Aaron Andrews will be on, as well as Wayne Larrivee, the Packers play-by-play guy who joined us on the Ben and Skin Show the other day. He's always excellent. So make your plans to be listening to all of our pregame coverage beginning at 12:30 and then postgame coverage immediately following the game. Jerry Jones at 11 o'clock. We do look forward to that very much. But let's hit a couple other quick sports stories, guys. Let's start with this audio. Now, this is Kyle Van Noy of the Patriots, and he's on a show called Zolak and Bertrand, and it's like, you know, Patriot blowhard show, sports talk radio up there, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And so, do you guys have strong feelings on Rodney Harrison, either as a player or broadcaster or both? I mean, does he strike you one way or the other?
I think he sucks, and I think he's bitter.
Yeah. He was definitely a dirty player. Like, yeah. He was for sure a dirty player, but he's also like, and I think sometimes it has to do with the nature of talk shows and stuff, but I'm always struck by, like, he just completely minimizes other people's opinions.
Like Dungy's?
Like, dude, they were talking about approaches to the end of games, and Dungy gave his opinion, and then Rodney Harrison goes, yeah, but let me tell you from a player perspective, and I'm like, Dungy played, you jerk. He's just kind of a big jerk, and he was a dirty player.
I don't pay attention to him.
Well, that's good. So on this talk show, they compared Kyle and Rodney Harrison won Super Bowls with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Good play.
So they're comparing Kyle Van Noy to him. Listen to Kyle Van Noy's response.
You're doing the Rodney Harrison role on this team now, which I give you credit for.
Don't compare me to him, man.
Why? That's a compliment.
Compared to that guy.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Is there something there?
No. I'm just, I'm nothing against him. I just don't want to be compared, definitely not to him.
There you go. Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Strong.
Yes.
So then Mike Florio, who works with Harrison, jumps in the fray and tweets at Kyle Van Noy. Hey, Kyle, you should get on your knees every night and pray that you will become half the man Rodney Harrison is.
No, I'm good.
So that's little extreme, I'd say, from Florio.
You're going to say that to the BYU guy?
I mean, so then Kyle responded.
He's doing well.
Dear Mike, I'm pretty happy with the man I am, and tonight I'll pray for you instead. Hashtag blessed with a emoji winking. So anyways, there's a big controversy up there. Yesterday, Kyle Van Noy tweeted this. And I want you to think about this tweet in regards to the tone of what you just heard. I play linebacker, so compare me to Brew, Vrabes, Ninko, Willie Mack, or Mayo. Why compare me to a safety, or why compare anyone to anyone? All love, nothing but respect for Rodney.
Really?
I don't know, man.
Love and respect? I think he's trying to make it go away.
I agree with you.
The whole thing of comparisons, I heard this yesterday. I was talking to somebody who works in a front office for a baseball team. This isn't a local team. And we were talking about comparisons. And it kind of the idea of, hey, I'm a linebacker, compare me to linebackers, reminded me of this. And there's a GM in baseball who has a really refreshing way of looking at things, which I respect the hell out of. And I think it's something we try to do. And it's where if you're talking about a player and somebody says, I need a comp for this player, he demands that if you're going to give him a comp, it has to be somebody of a different nationality.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be really refreshing. And it kind of gets back to the whole idea that we've talked about with quarterbacks. You know, it's like
pigeonholing.
Pigeonholing a guy or whatever and saying, oh, well, he's an African-American quarterback. He's a scrambler.
Right.
You know, you hear crap like that. That's so lazy.
Right.
Or you hear, you know, it's a white guy. It's a lunch pail guy or whatever. Yeah. You know, just get creative.
Right.
And think about, because why does this guy have to compare to this guy just because they're from the same place?
What? No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And then I also think you can swing that pendulum too far and get overly critical of things that match perfectly. Like, I get it. You're going to compare Cole Beasley to another little white guy. Well, he kind of plays that exact role. So
I said yesterday that Jordan Love of Utah State's release reminded me of Kaepernick's. And they're both the same
African-American
skin color.
Right.
So, and I'm like, well, if you watch it, though, it does look like.
Now, that's, yeah, right.
Now, I did this with Trey Quinn, the slot receiver for the Redskins, who went to SMU. It was like a seventh-round pick. I mean, kind of reminds me of Cole Beasley. Gets open, can't cover him in the slot. I don't know what to say.
Right.
I don't know what to say.
To Ben's point, there's definitely lots of lazy analysis out there.
For sure.
But sometimes things do fit, you know?
So doesn't mean it can't make sense.
Yeah.
Right. Your point there, the context you give makes all the difference in the world. You're talking about watching their releases.
I do think it's interesting, though, that he said that guy, and he kept saying that guy in the interview, like he wouldn't say Rodney.
I don't think he likes him.
And the tweet, he said
he
Rodney.
He hates him.
Yeah.
He's trying to make it go away now by saying, oh, yeah, nothing but love and respect.
It's so easy to say right there on the air, why would you compare me to a safety? I'm a linebacker. But he didn't. He goes, no, not that guy.
It's easy to sit in a chair here in Texas and do this just on the radio, but just while we're having fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Florio getting Rodney's back is kind of the only guy I've ever seen like Rodney Harrison.
Right.
I know Rodney has friends. Okay, there's no way he'd still be doing that job if he was that unlikable. But Florio's the only guy on record that I've ever seen that likes Rodney Harrison. So, I don't know. It's easy for me to say, and I'll say it because it's easy for me to say.
It's hard when you have a guy.
And I won't face any repercussions for saying it. So.
He was a great player, but he was known as a guy that'd go after your knees.
Yes.
Like, he was known for that.
And that's, even if he doesn't like Rodney Harrison personally, that alone is enough to say, dude, come on, don't put me.
Right.
I'm not a dirty player.
Right.
That's a bad affiliation.
I have a problem with Florio's go after the half the man you are thing. It's
I
like,
mean,
homie, dude, first of all, I'm not saying every person that went to BYU is a saint.
Right.
But this guy, just let's maybe find out a little more about Kyle Van Noy, and I would assume that he's probably got a good little religious background there, doing the right thing. I'm assuming he's a good father. Now, that's easy for me to say again. And this new segment's called This Is Easy For Me To Say.
I like for Florio to be a quarter of the man Ian Rappaport is.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm like, Florio, why don't you just go get stuff right? That's...
See, again, it comes down to the media war. Yeah. You and Fish always have it out for other media people.
I think Florio's interesting.
KT hates Skip Bayless.
Okay, I want to move on as we go around the sports, and I want to get to a story that involves the Mavericks and the Knicks. So RJ Barrett, the stud rookie for the Knicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's asked by New York media who he would most like to dunk on. And he responded with, let's go with Porzingis. All right.
Dun,
so
dun, dun.
If he could posterize anybody in the league this coming season, now is RJ Barrett just a nasty dunk artist? Is that the thing? Or
I don't really think of him that way. Okay. But, you know, I mean, he's probably about 6'8 or so, and he's got really good handles. So the idea is that he can get to the basket and transition and stuff like that.
All right. So he says that's who he would most like to posterize. Well, Brad Townsend asked Porzingis about it yesterday.
Oh.
And Porzingis, this was his reaction. He says, quote, that's fine. I'm a shot blocker, despite what some people are saying. I'm one of the best shot blockers in the league, and I'm always up for the challenge. I think that's a pretty good goal for him to try to dunk on me. That would be cool. I respect that.
All right.
And I hadn't been thinking about this. So he's averaged two blocks over his career, two blocks per game, which is really good, and was averaging almost 2.5 blocks when he tore his ACL back in February of 2018. And so I was curious how, you know, we talk so much about Porzingis on offense, and he's not necessarily a great defender, but he is an exceptional shot blocker. So will the Mavericks try to run offensive players to the rim to where Porzingis is waiting to swat him?
Yeah, absolutely. And Shippy, if you actually have a chance to do this, it may be difficult on the fly. See if you can find league leaders in block percentage in the NBA. It's an advanced stat on Basketball Reference. But I think he's going to be near the top of that. I keep referencing this team with the Mavericks on offense. I think you can reference them on defense as well. Now, it's a little bit different because of the types of athletes that the Milwaukee Bucks have. They have a lot of long-rangey athletes on the perimeter. But what they try to do is try to funnel players in towards Brook Lopez. And the Mavericks did a little bit of this last year in the first half of the year before things really went to poop. But they had a good shot blocker in DeAndre Jordan. And so one of the things they were trying to do with their defense is funnel guys into taking mid-range shots. Guys aren't going to go all the way to the rim because DeAndre Jordan is there. So you're funneling them into lower percentage shots that maybe DeAndre can contest a little bit. But that is a way to utilize Kristaps Porzingis. Now, I might have thrown you under the bus here because Porzingis hadn't played in 2 years.
Yeah, so I've got the block percentage leaders here, and obviously Kristaps isn't on it.
Yep.
They do have a Maverick on there, though, at number 11.
Maxi Kleber?
Yep.
Yeah, Maxi Kleber is one of the...
4.4.
Yeah, and the idea...
Miles Turner leads with 8.4.
The idea... Go look at Kristaps' individual page and look what his last block percentage was when he was playing games for the Knicks.
Okay.
So if the top of the league is 8.8, the idea is that 8.8% of the shots taken on the floor, Turner's going to get a block on those when he's out there,
mm-hmm.
which is a super high percentage. And so the whole point being is that if you have a guy offensively, like the Bucks use Brook Lopez to spread the floor, well, he can't move his feet in space, so can you have your defense funnel guys into where Brook Lopez can alter shots, or guys are in that in-between land? That's what the Mavericks are going to want to do with Porzingis. That's why it's critical for Dwight Powell to be out there with him. I think Maxi Kleber moves incredibly well in space. Mm-hmm. There are big guys that can defend better on the perimeter, and then you have Porzingis as your help side defender.
Since Porzingis is so important to the offense, they probably have to be careful with him, I would imagine, if he's trying to block every shot with getting in foul trouble. Is that ever an issue for him?
I don't know. I don't know if he had a history of foul trouble up there.
So the last year that I can find is he had a 6.4 block percentage, which was the best in the NBA last he played. It was ahead of Rudy Gobert at 6.0.
And again, ahead of Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert changes everything. And again, it's not just the the shots that are blocked. It's how many shots you alter or how teams change their approach just knowing there's a shot blocker there.
Yeah, and to your point, Ben, Rudy Gobert would have a higher block percentage if guys weren't hyper aware of him and avoiding him at all costs and not get their shot blocked.
It's like a shutdown corner. It's not going to get as many chances to get interceptions because the quarterback's not even going to throw that way.
Great comparison, dude. So I want to throw this out there, but why it's so smart for RJ Barrett to do this. Porzingis is hated in New York. Like, he's hated. So if you're a rookie and you want to get everybody on your side, why don't you go in there and tell everybody, I can't wait to go dunk on the guy that all of you guys hate.
That's a great strategy.
And then, so we have a buddy that works in, he's turned himself into a media figure. He's one of the new young guys that, you know, do their own YouTube channels, and he works his ass off, Chris Henderson. He's he's also does a lot of stuff with our buddy BMO, but he's got good connections, and he is the guy that had the Kevin Durant interview.
Yeah, that was so good.
That ended up on ESPN. So he's also like, dude, he's a great dude. But he had one of my favorite hip hop producers on the other day, Ninth Wonder, and then he also had Dennis Smith Jr. because he formed a nice little bond with Dennis when Dennis was here, and Dennis said his goal this year in New York is to make RJ Barrett the Rookie of the Year. Which, that's a really good goal, right? Barrett was the number one player in the nation coming out of high school until Zion eclipsed it with all the Zion hype. So Barrett's supposed to be a top-notch guy. When I watched him play at Duke, I mean...
He's the guy you were skeptical of, right?
I was skeptical of his greatness. I thought, you know what? He's kind of a Jim Jackson type, but a little bit big. I know, dude. Jimmy Jackson was great until he got hurt. But we'll see what happens in New York. But he was the number one high school player in the nation for several years, regarded as that guy. So, and I'd say nation, he's Canadian, but in that class.
Before we get out of here for Around the Sports, did you guys watch any of the Stars game?
I watched a little bit of it, but by the time I flipped over, it was the score. All the scoring had already happened. Mm-hmm.
So I found out the puck drop. I've tuned in early to see the puck drop because they were like, there was a big tweet like, who's going to do it? And it was the president, George Bush.
That was cool.
Remind me
George
of
George W. Bush.
Our interview with him.
Yes. No.
Now.
Now.
So
now.
So our
buddy Josh Babb, local restaurateur. We've done shows from his spots. He's got that really cool place downtown Misume. He was up in a nice suite for the game, and some people came in that looked like security, and they're like, they turned to Bab and they go, you need to get out of here,
like get out of the suite.
You need to get out of the suite, the president is coming.
But it was his suite.
He was with some other people. It was like some, I think, people that work for the Stars.
Okay.
And so he was like, no, I know he thought they were talking about gym lights. He goes, no, I don't need to leave. I know the president. It's okay. And they're like, I don't think you understand. You need to get, they take their sunglasses off. You need to get out of here. And then he realized George Bush was coming into the suite.
So he sat with owner of the Stars, Tom Gilardi, and Brendan Morrow. They showed him on the broadcast last night. And
he was in Gilardi's suite. Our buddy Babb was in Gilardi's suite.
Yeah. Gilardi came to a game, huh?
Okay.
All right, good stuff.
Sir.
Coming up next, the Jason Garrett press conference, then Jerry Jones, all coming your way on a Football Friday on the Ben and Skin Show. And as we always say, if you can't listen on a radio, please stream with the radio.com app. It's absolutely free. Take it to work so you never have to miss a minute of the Ben and Skin Show. Coming up next, the Jason Garrett press conference, then Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan.